To the 77th Women's Day Prayer Meeting. We're here to pray, we're here to praise, and we're here to hear the Word of God in Scripture and in speech. We will meditate tonight to our God who is good and who is true. It's our God who gives us a compassionate heart and a living hope in Jesus. Before we begin, we will not have a call for prayer requests. Sister Lydia Moore, when she gives the intercessory prayer, will read the list of names previously called. The prayer meeting will now begin with, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning, my song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God.
Thank you.
Brothers and sisters, tonight, let us rest for a moment in silent prayer and meditation. For from whom and through him and to him are all things, to him be the glory forever. Amen.
Oh, Amen. We come to you with thanksgiving. We come to you with our breath, the breath that you gave us. Speak the word and speak life. Father, we acknowledge you. We know that we acknowledge your children. We know that blessings are bringing. We know not to ignore you when you are in the room. Not to ignore you or turn about and speak to somebody or acknowledge you. Thank you, gracious Father, for all that you have done and will do. Thank you, Lord. In the spirit, we are in the room right now. We pray for our children. We pray for our family. We pray for this world. We pray for the decisions that are being made, gracious Father, that we know that when we are linked to you and connected to you, gracious Father, all things are good. All things work out. Thank you, Lord, for opening doors. Thank you, Lord, for opening our homes. Thank you, Lord, for opening worlds in order for us to continue to flow. We are your ambassadors, gracious Father, and we say thank you, and we usher in the Spirit who is already ever present. The Spirit does not need to just show up. The Spirit is already here. Amen. We have to acknowledge him. In Jesus' name, I do pray. And I thank you, my sisters. Amen.
Amen.
The Spirit does not need to just show up. The Spirit is already here. We have to acknowledge him. In Jesus' name, I do pray. And I thank you, my sisters. Amen.
Amen. Oh, no wonder. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God has done. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. When is the last time that you have stopped to count your blessings? Do you know how blessed you are? Immediately, we start thinking about all the wonderful things that we have, like houses, nice cars, beautiful clothes, distinguished jobs, family, health, great retirements, money in the bank. Oh, how awesome! Some might feel as though you deserve these blessings because you worked so very hard for them. Yes, you did. But there are even greater spiritual blessings that we have not even considered. Every good thing from God that comes to us in salvation should fill our hearts and minds with gratitude and with praise. Ephesians, the first chapter, 3rd and 4th verses say, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world." And if we go to Luke 6, chapter 38, verse, Jesus says, "Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." So what exactly is Christ saying in this passage? First, he is telling us to give. This is not a matter of question, but a statement. Jesus calls to us to give into his kingdom and the beauty of his kingdom and the beauty of his calling. Is that not only will our gifts be pressed down, shaken together, and running over, and also Jesus said that with the same measure that you give, it will be returned to you. God is so just to return to us our harvest in whatever size that we planted. The more seed that is planted, the greater the harvest. So believe that when you give financially, generously, and consistently to the church, which is God's kingdom, have faith that your gift will return, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. You can't beat God's giving. No matter how hard you try. Just as sure as you are living and the Lord is in heaven on high. The more you give, the more He gives to you. Just keep on giving because it's really true. You can't beat God's giving, no matter how hard you try. Let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. God, we love You. We bless You and adore You. We thank You for giving the gift of eternal life. We know that You are a good God who gives us good gifts. Your generosity overflows to us. Everything that we have is a gift from You, God. During this Woman's Day observance, dear Lord, we will gladly bring our offerings to You because the Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver. Oh Lord, teach us to have the faith to become generous, consistent Christian givers. We give back to You from the many blessings that You have given us. May our gifts be acceptable in Your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Good evening. Isn't it wonderful to be in the house of the Lord again? We should all say amen for God's grace and goodness. Before I give my testimony, I want to share a reflection from my involvement with the book talk last Friday evening, Taming the Tongue in 30 Days. When I was in my late teens, away from home and living with my aunt, my mom, grandma, and uncle came to visit. Somehow there was a conversation about who will take care of who among the elderly as they got older. Me, being shy and staying out of adult conversations, thought I'd be a little funny. So I said, "Oh, that's going to be fine. I'm going to take care of Mama. And my sister, Honey, she's going to take care of Grandma." That did not go over well with my grandmother at all. She flipped out and started to cry. She thought I was shunning her. I was just trying to be a little funny. So I learned I need to be very careful what I say, and most times, stay away from those adult conversations if it wasn't directly involving me. That book review was wonderful. And yes, we do always need to be mindful of what we say. In sharing my testimony tonight, or some of my testimony, it would be very long. We'd be here all night if I were to tell you how good God has been down through the years. But tonight I'm thankful that I had God in my life and experienced His boosters in my life starting at an early age. Before I was baptized, I feared God and His might. I waited until I was 16 and was sure of my religion before I got baptized. I went about quietly and solemnly in my new Christian endeavor until my aunt said to me, "You know, becoming a Christian is not meant to make you sad, but it's meant to make you more joyful." And that released me to know that God wasn't watching every step, every move I made to see whether or not I was being obedient. I had a very humble beginning in a small, close-knit farming and gardening community. I grew up in a very large family, but I was surrounded by love and compassion in my home and throughout the community. We were taught to care about each other, to care about those in our community, Uncle Lot, Grandma, Grandpa, Uncle Leon, Aunt Emma. Whenever the men had to be away from home because of illness or some other business throughout the night, we would take turns spending the night with those women to make sure that they were okay. I left home at the age of 17, and just after I had graduated from high school. I moved to the city so that I could find a job and work and go to college. I was the first in my family to get a college degree. I always reached back to help my siblings who wanted to go to college. I always told them, if you get married, you get a husband, then he has to do it. But until then, I helped my family when they were in college. My most unique experience with God's booster was with the survival of my firstborn son. He was born almost 3 months premature. The doctor told us he had a very slim possibility of survival. I had surrendered and told God, "Thank you, and I'll give him to you." But that it did not turn out that way. I had a wonderful neonatal doctor who stayed in the hospital by my side over 24 hours and waited for my child to be born. It is because of that doctor, Dr. Jacob Kay, and his nursing staff that my young son survived and is thriving today and employed as an engineer. Last year in March, one of my younger sisters underwent a second stem cell transplant to treat multiple myeloma, a disease of bone marrow. She almost succumbed to the harshness of the treatment. And I held on to her and prayed, and then asked the nurse to summon the doctor. Today, she is well and has returned to work. My stories could go on and on. Today, I accompanied a Hispanic neighbor and wife to the jail to visit their 20-year-old son, who is struggling with mental health and substance abuse issues. Today, they left the visit smiling, because the son looked so much better and was able to communicate with them much better than when they had visited him last Saturday. We praise God for his goodness. In counting my blessings, I find that through all that I've been through, I have no reason at all to complain or be blue. Yes, Mom, who is 94, is suffering with cancer and recovering from some strokes, but she's still here, and she's still able to move around a little. So is my aunt, who is slowing down at the age of 90. Despite all of this, I have healthy, caring children and grandkids, an amazing husband who's supportive, good friends to share the good and the bad. God still challenges me to others to be true until I'm due to rest in eternity with the Master. For I can say, as Job said, I admit I once lived by rumors of you, Lord, but now I have it firsthand with my own eyes, my own ears. I have seen the power, grace, mercy, and blessings of the good Lord. Thank you.
God is so good. Thank you, Sister Akinbala. And you're correct. All we need to do is just surrender to him and hear him and listen to him. My husband and I were talking just today of how good God is. And we started listing a lot of the ways that he has helped us, that he just stepped in, sometimes without us even asking. God was there. And so as we began to list all of those blessings that he poured upon us, we just had to say one more time, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So, are there any other testimonies? Is there one other testimony tonight? If you do have that testimony, please unmute so that we may hear it. Victory is mine.
I don't say that.
Get thee behind.
Our theme is compassion, God's vaccine of hope. It's time for a booster shot. But I will speak on cry aloud for the booster of hope. Our scripture, which comes from the book of Lamentations, the English word, which comes from the Greek verb meaning to cry aloud, was written in ancient times. The prophet Jeremiah expresses through his emotions the deep grief, despair, and hopelessness for the people of Judah because of their wickedness and their disobedience. The whole place of Jerusalem was in destruction. They were suffering. They were in need of hope. Of course, there is more to this story, but I will give a little insight on Jeremiah's lament, his cry to the main source, God, on behalf of Judah's suffering and his suffering. Jeremiah was caught up in Judah's grief. He was an eyewitness and the voice of the people during troubling times. But yet, despite his feelings of deep grief, sorrow, despair, and hopelessness for the people, he still had his faith in God. Therefore, he acknowledges God's love and compassion that was and is unlimited. God's faithfulness and God's provisions was enough to meet his needs. He had trust. He was willing to wait in hope. And if only the people of Judah would seek God, change their wicked ways, repent, they too would have hope in God for their needs to be met. Although this happened in 586 BC, it relates to our current times in the years of 2020 and 2021. We are currently experiencing wicked people, disobedience, and sinful people, and destruction with COVID-19, a virus that has caused a pandemic, not just in one city, state, or country, but all around the world. This pandemic has caused over millions of deaths and hospitalizations. Cities have been shut down. There has been food shortages, job losses, isolation from family and friends. Also, natural disasters have occurred, such as snowstorms, floods, fires, and tornadoes that have caused power outages and homes and businesses being destroyed, black males being murdered by police publicly, and an insurrection, an attack on the Capitol, which was an attack on our democracy. Yeah. This is just to name a small amount of the disobedience and destruction that has occurred during the time of a pandemic. This pandemic has caused a lot of people to feel the same emotions as Jeremiah. Deep grief, sorrow, despair, unbelief, and hopelessness. We have all experienced some, if not all, of these emotions during this pandemic. And natural disasters with deep sorrow, discouragement, despair, destruction, and fear, feeling somewhat all alone. What can help us during this time of chaos and uncertainty? The answer is to go to the main source of life, God, for he has all that we need that can enable us to gain the hope for what and when we need it. His love for us, his children, is divine love, unconditional, sacrificial, and pure, agape love. He is a compassionate God. Through love, he shows us his compassion toward us. Compassion, God's love in action. The dictionary says compassion is sorrow for the suffering or trouble of another, accompanied by an urge to help, deep sympathy, pity. Why is compassion important in this situation? Compassion is one of God's attributes that makes him who he is. It is a part of his nature. He moves by compassion, accompanied by his great love. An aspect of God's love that causes him to help in times of misery. Having compassion leads to being compassionate, which means feeling and showing compassion, sympathizing deeply. God is a compassionate God. But for those of us that have faith in God and his almighty power, know God has the answer to this dilemma. He has the antidote, the vaccine, the booster, that can comfort and give hope needed to survive during hard times. He is the main source that can and will provide the hope through his compassion. It's time for a booster. We should cry out in prayer. Cry aloud to the main source to acquire what we need. Mm-hmm. Go to God in prayer. Talk to him. Tell him how you're feeling. Thank him for his presence. Ask him for forgiveness, for we are all sinners falling short of his glory. Ask him for his guidance. Praise him for what he's done, what he's doing, and what he will do. Ask for his will to be done and that we are able to accept it. Yes. When worship, then worship him in song. You know, years ago, Reverend Rodney Swisher preached a sermon that was entitled, Everybody Needs a Theme Song. Mm-hmm. I have one. I'm not really a songstress, but I'm going to share that with you. The beginning, and I sing it every morning after a prayer. If you seek God in the morning, he'll be with you all through the day. Yes. And that's just all I'm going to tell you. But as we experience, just as God has given us an example as to having compassionate hearts, we are expected to have compassionate hearts as he does, which leads to the hope in his salvation. As sisters and brothers in Christ, let us live out our faith, especially in times of trouble, and share the reason for our hope to others. Women of Ebenezer, if we can receive our booster shot, God's vaccine of hope, surely we will recommend it to others. We are his agents, his disciples. We are equipped with the fruit of the Spirit and spiritual gifts that he entrusted to us for his purpose. Recommend the booster shot, God's vaccine of hope. Yes. 1 Peter 3:15 tells us, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord, always being prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. I would like to recommend some ways to show compassion. We must continue to pray for those that are hopeless. Practice acts of kindness. Motivate others by saying encouraging words. Offer to help someone. Prepare a meal. Take time to bond with family and friends. Share the Lord's word and your testimony. And finally, God tells us there will be troubles. We still will face unknown challenges, but we will have victory through faith. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, and be constant in prayer. He became like us to save us. We must have the faith to know God, to know that God keeps his promises. Through our faith, we have the help, the strength, the hope, and the trust. His compassion does not fail. His faithfulness is ever present, and his love endures forever. Get your booster shot.
Amen. We come at this time for intercessory prayer. I hope we were all listening to what Sister Mays had to say. This is a time we come to show compassion, to show empathy, and to let all know that we care about you. We stand with you, ready to do whatever God calls us to do in your behalf. These are the names that we have that we ask for special prayer. Pastor Freeman and the church family. Reverend Spears and Mrs. Spears. Deacon and Sister Hutzbeth. Rady Kennedy and family. Robert Organ. Johnny and Opal Irving. The Hicks family. Sister Schaefer, Rashonda Hammond, Jennifer Durst, the pastor's sister-in-law in Florida, who is ill, Leonard Gabriel, Eva Dawson, Kim Darby's family in the loss of her sister, Felicia Dennis and family, and Aunt Ruth, Betty Johnson's grandson, Ruth Washington, Rosanna Lewis and her family. We pray for her as she takes on a new major job. The children, the graduates, teachers and schools, Dr. Beulah Jones, Carolyn Eichard, Celeste Tucker, Betty Tryon, Carrie Swisher, Johnny Organ, Mary Hurst, Dr. Erdy, Carolyn Flynn, the nation and our leaders, our world and our world leaders. We ask that you would put aside everything right now. Clear your minds as we prepare to go to God. Most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, the one who sits high and looks low, the only wise God, Father of our Savior, Jesus Christ, the only excellent God, the only living God, we come in humble submission to you. We know that you can do everything, anything, according to your will. We come now, we call these names, and I know there are others right now on Zoom or YouTube or people who are still at home and have never said a word, but they need help too. We ask that you would touch in a special way. Let each person know you are with them if they believe in you by faith in Jesus Christ. We know that you have the power. We know that you know all about everybody whose name was called and those that weren't. So we ask that you would not stop by because you're already there by the Spirit. But if you would just let them know, touch them on their shoulder and let them know, I'm here. I'm right here with you. You're going to be all right. Whatever the situation may be, whether it's physical, emotional, mental, financial, whatever it is, Lord, we ask that you would stand with them. Let them know you're there in a special way. Lift them up. Give them courage. Give them determination, knowing that you're going to bring them through whatever is going on. You already know the end. You already know how it's going to turn out, and they're going to be fine with you. However we are, we know that when it's all over, Lord, you're going to be there and say, well done, if we have done what you asked us to do. We ask that you give us the power, the strength, the courage to do what you called us to do in this world. Give us the peace, the compassion, the empathy, the love, the kindness, all that we need to represent you. And then let them rest this evening, knowing all is well. For you are faithful You are just, you are loving, and you are kind. You are our God. We pray this in the name of your Son, the anointed Christ, Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen.
Yes.
Begging you, please, please, pretty, pretty, please, don't forget to pray for me.
Amen. Wow. Good evening, everyone. This has been worship tonight. From the beginning until the end, worship. We want to thank the Lord for our worship tonight, for our time together, and thank our Women's Day committee for planning such a beautiful night tonight. And then they wanted to be able to have live worship and Zoom and YouTube and blend all that together so that it would be special for us tonight. And so I thank them for all their hard work planning and putting this together. I want to thank all of the program participants for serving tonight. They were all powerful and you just wonderful expression of faith, of confidence in God, and of what Christians can experience when they truly trust God. We thank tonight Sister Carlene Phillips. I know all of you ladies and members of the steering committee and members of Ebenezer are grateful for her willingness to take on this responsibility and without a co-chair. But she's worked really hard to make everything special for us this year and this week. And I thank you, Sister Phillips, for your service, for your ministry to our church. And thank you, members and ladies, for your support. Thanks to all of the persons from the steering committee for serving, and our captains. All of you have done a wonderful job. Sister Cynthia Mays, speaker, orator, and a singer. Thank you so much for your powerful message and for reminding us that this isn't the first time God's people have experienced difficulty. They experienced difficulty through the Babylonian captivity that Lamentations addresses, and they came through that. And as we have experienced difficulty over these past couple of years, we too will come through it. God will take care of us and bless us. And blessings to you, Sister May. She just graduated from a Bible Institute after working so hard. So we congratulate you and pray for whatever God is going to do with you and through you and through your ministry. Thank you, Sister Fanny Akinbala, for your testimony. And just a beautiful, powerful testimony of how God has worked in your life and shaped you. We have so many members who can stand and say what God has done and testify to the goodness of God. And you're just an example of that. We appreciate the power of that message. We want to also thank the Reverend Torrence Spears for his leadership with the music ministry and that beautiful praise ensemble. Those ladies were wonderful. The power of the singing and the message was wonderful. And I think I saw Dr. Beulah Agnes Jones up there with them. Good to see you, Dr. Jones. And Ryan also accompanying the ensemble. Thank you all for serving. And we also want to thank our media team. Live and Zoom and YouTube combination would not be possible without our media team, Preston Bureau, Kanika Pendergrass, Jasmine Tucker, and Deacon Oliver Street, who's in the balcony serving. Thanks to all of them for their ministry to our congregation and for their service. On Sunday, we have a great speaker, Jennifer Saunders. She grew up in the church and a religious family. I know you'll want to tune in. Invite others to join us for worship on Sunday. It's going to be a wonderful day as we celebrate our 77th annual Women's Day. Oh, I forgot to mention, thank you, Sister Joanne Lewis, for your stewardship message and for reminding us of being good stewards of the resources that God has entrusted to us, and all of the persons, Dr. Lewis, Sister Ellison, Sister Moore, I'm trying to remember all the names who were on program, all of the persons who were on program who shared tonight. You were wonderful. Thank you so much, and God bless you, beloved. I don't know if Linda's coming back, but I think there's going to be a closing song, and we're asked to leave the Zoom gathering silently.
Let your worship
you, God, for tonight. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Before I give the benediction, there's one very special announcement I do need to make. The 16th Biennial Profiles of Prominent African American Women's Recognition Ceremony. We have an inductee who will be honored, who is one of our own, Sister Lydia Westmore, will receive the Foreman Jones Caregiver Award. And we know Sister Moore. She's out there. She's caring. The ceremony is by the Austin Metroplex Chapter, National Women of Achievement Incorporated. They cordially invite you to the 2020-21 Profiles of Prominence, Women with Grit, Grain, and Grace. And, of course, you do have that, Sister Moore. Saturday, June 19, 2021, the ceremony is at 6 p.m. There's a reception to follow. It's at the St. James Missionary Baptist Church. No admittance is required. As we go from here today, we will face joys and challenges the rest of the week and even following that. And as we lead up to our Women's Day annual service this Sunday, please continue to pray for us. And we would like to leave you with this. Because of God's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. The Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose help is in him, to the one who seeks him. So we say goodnight until we meet again. We ask you to leave the meeting in silence. God be with you.